Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Greg Thurstonson. Thought anybody named Thurstonson shouldn't have problems with the weatherman. My, such a delight to be in the Lord's house with you. I have prayed. I said, Lord, I used to just look forward to the district councils and getting to see everybody. And I've noticed my feelings have changed a little. And I said, Lord, let me look forward to this like I did 25 or 30 years ago. And we have looked forward to this day. And my, hasn't everyone done such a beautiful job in celebrating 50 years of ministry. You know, I'm sure none of you ever dreamed you'd still be here on planet Earth. You knew the Lord would have come long before then. But Peter tells us he's just given us a little more time to do his work. And how many tonight have both hands on the plow? Got your eyes on the prize, Jesus in your heart, heaven on your mind, amen? And we're going to take everybody we can with us to heaven. Turn with me tonight in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the gospel according to St. Luke for our scripture reading. I want to talk tonight about a very precious portion of scripture that God has made so real to me out of the fourth chapter of Luke. You're probably already there with me, aren't you? Let us begin reading, if we may, with verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Isn't it wonderful to be a gospel preacher? Amen? Isn't it a high day when God gives us this privilege? He has sent me. Isn't it wonderful to be sent by the Lord Jesus Christ? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want you to know we have a purpose in life. Amen? I know what we're here for. I know who has chosen us. I know who has anointed us and who has sent us. And we're not going to disappoint him, are we? We're going to stand before him and hear him say, "Well done." He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. There are folks that can't see any way out. There are folks that are hopeless. They feel like the die has been cast. There's no way they can ever change. Parents were alcoholics, they'll be the same thing. But I want to tell you, Jesus has called us to set the captive free. Amen? We have a message of deliverance to preach and to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendants. He sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say unto them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I'd like to choose tonight as my text this 18th verse. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me." He hath anointed me. I hope tonight when we leave here, all you can hear is, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me." I hope when you go out the door and you open the door, something says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me." 2 years ago, in fact, in this same place, wasn't it? I believe Carol and I stood before you to accept an invitation to serve you as the new district superintendents. I felt surrounded and shrouded and covered in his peace, but at the same time I was overwhelmed by the challenge that was being given unto us. As I stood there, they were bringing Carolyn down. I turned to Brother Burris, my pastor, and I said, Brother Burris, I don't know how to be a superintendent. Did I tell you that? I said, I don't know how to be a superintendent. And he spoke to me words which I have recognized to be a word from the Lord. He said, Joe, there's an anointing that goes with that office. There is an anointing that goes with that job that God has called you to do. Regardless of what it is, there is an anointing that goes with that job, and God will help you. And I'll just tell you, you'll never know, Brother Burris, how many times that has brought sweet assurance to my soul. Thank you for having a word from the Lord to my life. I have in the back of my study Bible written 1 Timothy 1 and 12. And I refer to it many times. I've shared it at AMT sessions. And Paul told Timothy, said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, who hath anointed me, who has helped me. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. I thank the Lord our God, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I have underneath that, he chooses us. It's not your idea, it's his idea. He calls us. He enables us. He anoints us. He instructs us. He leads us. He guides us. He provides for us. And he empowers us for the task that he has called us to do. As I was studying this, I thought of the text in the book of Luke 22 and 35, when Jesus sent his disciples out without purse and scrip and shoes. When they returned, he asked them, he said, little children, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. They lacked nothing. God provided them all that they needed for the ministry that he had called them to. They were not just equal to the task. We are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved us. And for these past 2 years, Carol and I have stood before new congregations almost every Sunday, and I stand amazed at the faithfulness of God in giving us favor to his people and hopefully making us a blessing to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. That's what the anointing does. That's what the enablement of the Lord Jesus Christ does. You know that. You experience that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday when he'll pick you up. You know, I can't always explain to you what it is, but we always know what it's not. We've been on both sides, and I like it where it is, where it flows, where it's helping us, when it quickens our minds. These past 2 years, the Lord has made our text so precious, and it's become so personal to me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up or heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When Jesus read these scriptures from the scrolls of Isaiah in the synagogue at Nazareth, he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And he took a seat and he sat down. I want to talk to us a little bit tonight about the special relationship that Jesus had with the Holy Spirit, a relationship that is so important for all of our lives personally today. In the Old Testament, concerning the prophecies of the coming Messiah, several predictions were specifically shared that he would be empowered by the Holy Ghost. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, I just love this portion of scripture. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Messiah will be mightily anointed, the scripture says, or enabled by the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill his mission and the will of his Father which is in heaven, to bring full salvation to the entire world. We sometimes wonder, well, what are some of the, Pentecostals are always talking about the value and importance of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let me just go back and rehearse a little bit what he said. He said the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Oh, how we need this. There's a lots of problems could be avoided if we would trust in the wisdom of the Lord Jesus. Your presbyter jobs and committee wouldn't be a whole lot easier if you would seek for the wisdom and counsel of God. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom, and he's the spirit of understanding. He'll help you understand what's going on in situations that you don't have any control over. He'll help you understand the difference of seasons in lives. Sometimes we get so frustrated when we're sowing, we want to be reaping at the same time. And there are different seasons of life, and you should not be frustrated. The sower is just as important as the harvester. We must all realize that God, and we need the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of what's going on in our life and what's going on in the church, and we won't be a frustrated pastor or evangelist. Oh, I need that in my life as well. He'll give you the spirit of counsel and of power. I want to tell you, Isaiah prophesied that his name would be called Counselor. He will give you the counsel that you need in your life. And he is the power of God personified. And when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive that power, that enablement of God. He's the spirit of knowledge, and he is the fear of the Lord. You won't be handling the sacred things of God foolishly when the fear of God reigns in your heart and soul and life. When you remember your mission is not to be an entertainer, it's not to be a comedian, you're to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the fear of God reigns in your heart, that you're the watchman on the walls, you're going to give an account to God for the souls of people you pastor, and it'll cause you to walk carefully to your pulpit, and you'll treasure those few moments that many times that people are hanging in the balance of eternity, and the attitude that you have in ministry many times can cause that scale to go either way. I was praying one morning, one of my boys was going to be in church at Crockett, and I was praying for that pastor. I said, oh God, please give him a word from the Lord. I pray to God he's got something besides Ward's books or the Evangel to preach from this morning. Please give him a word from the Lord that can touch my son's heart and life. And I was just weeping and praying for that good pastor. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. And he said, some mama's boy, some daddy's son's going to be in your church this morning too. And you need to have a fresh word from the Lord for their souls. You can't afford to miss it. We can't afford to miss it. We can't afford to miss it. Eternity at stake. And may we remember, God has called us to be preachers of the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing that will change people's lives is the anointing that breaks the yoke and opens the eyes of the unbeliever and lets them see the things of God. In Isaiah 42:1, he is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit upon him. This is a choice of God. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nation. Oh, I want to be one of his chosen ones. I want to be one who brings him delight and walks up circumspectly before him that he will not be embarrassed to lay his hand upon my life and anoint me with his precious, wonderful gospel. The Messiah would be anointed by the Holy Spirit in order to perform the ministry that God has called us. Let's look for a moment. Concerning his birth, both Isaiah and Luke states explicitly and unmistakably that Jesus came into this world as a result of a miracle deed of God. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin. Because of his miraculous conception, Jesus was holy. And that is, he was free from all taints of sin. This made him worthy to take the guilt and the shame and the sins on himself and to make atonement. And without a perfect, sinless Savior, we today could have never experienced redemption. We see the Holy Spirit in his birth. Let's look at his baptism. And Luke talks about these there in the preceding verses. When Jesus was baptized by John, who would later baptize his disciples in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and throughout the entire church age, he was himself, Jesus himself, was personally anointed by the Spirit of God. John said that I was standing there and I saw him walk upon the banks. And I said, it just came out of me. I said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which was preferred before me, for he was before me. I knew him not, but he that sent me, but I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing in water. And John bare record and said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode. Oh, you know what your abode is? That's where you live. He took up residence. He said, and the Spirit of God abode upon him. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes in the Holy Ghost. John says, and I saw, and I bear record that this is the Son of God. Hallelujah. 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 The same Spirit that came upon him in the form of a dove, equipping him with great power to perform his ministry, including the work of redemption, is available. The same Spirit, not another Spirit, not another Holy Ghost, but the same God, the Holy Ghost, that abode on him, wants to live and reign and work through you and I today. That's why we love Pentecost so much. That's why we love Pentecost so much. I bear record, John said, I bear record that this is him. Let's look at Jesus' temptation immediately after the baptism. You know, so many times after tremendous highs become some of the greatest struggles and trials of our life. My mother was an old-fashioned altar worker, and when God had really ministered to someone in a service, mother would often say, now, honey, our son said, God is probably strengthening you and preparing you for something you're facing. You be careful and you be on guard. Don't you just leave out of here like old Santa Anna did, shouting and think you've got a victory won when there's a Sam Houston willing to risk his life. And I just want to tell you, so many times after great blessings of life comes tremendous challenges. And Jesus immediately after his baptism, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit in the wilderness. I want to tell you, if you think praying for the leadership of the Spirit is elementary, you're wrong. I want to tell you something. It is important. It is important that we not only be anointed by him, but we be led by him in our life. And Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted of the devil for 40 days. And it was because of the enablement of the Holy Ghost that he was able to face Satan squarely on his territory and resist the temptations that came his way Likewise, it is God's intention that we never face a spiritual force of evil or sin without the power of the Holy Ghost. We must be equipped with His fullness, following His leadership in order to be victorious over sin and over Satan. In God's sight, we're really not normal children unless we have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and live in the Spirit. I want to tell you, everybody in that upper room was filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no such a term as non-Spirit-filled believers in the New Testament. The Bible says they all received the Holy Ghost. All of said with me, they all received the Holy Ghost and they all spoke in other tongues. And that's our pattern today. I'm not reading Dr. Dumbbell's book. I'm going to read the book of Acts. That is the pattern of the New Testament church. And you, if God's got it, you can have it. We must contend. We must contend for it. And in Jesus' ministry, in His reference to the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies about the Spirit coming upon Him, He uses the same passage to outline the nature of His ministry. It's a preaching ministry. God had called him to preach. God called Paul to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us to be preachers. All these other gifts we have can just be, kind of like putting an air conditioner on a car. Might help you down the road a little more. But preaching the gospel, the foolishness of preaching the gospel, God has chosen to be for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. The preaching of the gospel, the healing ministry, and the liberating or the deliverance ministry. I want to tell you, the deliverance ministry didn't go away with Oral Roberts and his tent. Hello, you don't have to have a tent to be a deliverance preacher. You just need the Holy Ghost. You know, He don't make you chase devils, but I'll tell you what, He'll keep you from running from them and being intimidated by them. He'll empower you. He will equip you. He will anoint you. He'll make you brave and strong in the face of your opposition. You'll stand your ground because you know He don't ever run off and leave you. He'll never forsake you. The Spirit anointed Jesus and empowered Him for His mission as here on earth. Jesus was God, John 1 and 1, but Jesus was also the Son of Man. And in that He was the Son of Man, He had to rely upon the Spirit's help, just like you and I have to do so. We stand on our tiptoes every Sunday morning trying to find that flow because we know what changes people's lives. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's hoping that the Holy Ghost will get in that service and open those whose eyes are blinded to see their need, that heaven is real and hell is real and God has a plan for their life. There has to be a supernatural intervention for a soul to be saved. It's a miracle. Every time somebody passed from death unto life, it's the work of the Holy Spirit opening our eyes. It was only as the Spirit anointed Jesus that He could live and serve and fulfill the great, fulfill the mission that God had sent Him to do so. And Luke makes mention of this in the book of Acts. And as Peter did, as he was preaching there to the house of Cornelius, and in Acts 10 and 38, he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. If Jesus needs the Holy Ghost, we ought to sense our need of the Holy Spirit as how God anointed Jesus of the Holy with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, or God's hand was upon him, or God's anointing was upon his life. The enablement was God's enablement. It is he in that he was a perfect example for us as Christians. Every believer should seek to receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost in their life. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's the most awesome thing in the world. I, a time or two in my life, I've had such an unusual anointing that I remember one Sunday, one service after preaching, there was such an unusual anointing. I don't know that I'd ever been in that place before. And I just stayed behind the pulpit and I just wept and I said, Lord, I don't want to come down. Oh God, I don't want to come down. Oh, it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. I'll tell you, it's worth whatever sacrifice you have to make for His hand to rest upon your life. I stood there and I just wept and I said, Lord, I don't want to come down. Kind of like the disciples. They just wanted to stay up there and build three tabernacles and stay there. Let me tell you, it's worth anything you have to sacrifice in order to have that precious presence of God abiding. And John said, I saw the Holy Ghost come upon him and it stayed, it abode upon him. And then I remembered, He who sent me said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, that's Him. And I beheld that Jesus is the Son of God. I'll tell you, you see the Spirit and the Word always agrees. It always agrees. For He hath anointed me. Let me just talk a little bit about this word, this anoint. This word comes from the Greek word. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Krio. I'm not a scholar in Greek. I just hope you understand. Let me tell you what it means. It was originally a medical term. When a patient with sore muscles came to the physician would take some oil upon his hands, and then he would begin to massage and rub that oil into those sore muscles. And technically the word anoint has to do with rubbing or smearing of oil upon someone. Therefore, I suppose you could call the anointing a hands-on situation by God. You see, when we speak of a person who is anointed, we're actually saying that the hand of God is upon that person. God is rubbing the strong presence of the Holy Ghost into that man and that woman's life or ministry. If a sermon is anointed, it's anointed because God's hand is upon it. If a song is anointed, it's anointed because God's hand is upon that situation. The presence of the anointing tells us that He has laid His hand upon that person. The anointing comes as a result of God's hands personally imparting the strong presence of God, the Holy Spirit, coming into something or to someone. And oh, how tonight that should cause us to covet His anointing. What we're really saying is His hand upon our life. May we not say anything or do anything that would grieve His Spirit or cause Him to want to lift His hands from off of our life. Jabez prayed for His anointing. This portion of Scripture has been made so precious to me. He prayed for God's blessings upon his life, for God to enlarge his coast and that thy hand might be with me. What Jabez was really praying for was the anointing of the Lord upon his life, and that God would keep him from evil and from sorrow and grief. And the Bible says he prayed this prayer and God granted him his request. If you want his anointing, I challenge you to seek his face and to spend time in his presence. I know God's arm is not short, but you have got to kindly spend some time in his presence for him to lay his hand upon your life. I thought of the psalmist David. He said, in Psalms 139, I just love this. He's talking about here of God's presence. Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and my upright. Talk about the omniscience of God. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and thou hast laid thy hand upon me. Oh, how I cherish. I cherished that. Thou hast laid his hand upon me. Psalms 92 and 10, he says, I shall. This is a confident man. I shall be anointed with precious oil. I just want to tell you tonight, if you sense your need, and I've been there before. I remember kneeling in an altar one Sunday morning before I was even in ministry, and I told God, I said, Lord, I'm so dry. I felt like a bunch of old dry shucks. And we'd invited a new family to the church, and they was there, and the devil was telling me, said, you better hurry up and get back there at the back and tell them you're glad they'd be here, and, or they may not come back. And I said, God, I can't leave here like I came. God, I'm so dry. If they don't come back, I'm sorry. God, I can't leave this place till you touch my life. And I don't have to tell you, I didn't leave there disappointed. I don't remember what the circumstances or situation was, but I remember the touch that God brought upon my life. If you're here tonight and you're footsore and weary and you're struggling and you feel dry, feel like you've been going through a spiritual drought and a famine in your life, and you feel fruitless and you feel frustrated, I challenge you tonight to open your heart and allow him to touch you and lay his hand afresh and anew upon your life. I guarantee you a strong presence of God. A strong presence of God will be experienced in your life. He hath anointed me. I want to tell you, every one of us here tonight ought to be able to say that. You know what? You need to go back to your ordination class. He has laid his hand upon me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. And he hath ordained me. He hath anointed me. He hath enabled me. He hath equipped me. And yes, we go through different difficult times in our life. But oh, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And he was the fourth man in the time of difficulty, the fire with the Hebrew children. He will show up. He will manifest himself to you as you seek his presence in your life. He has anointed us, and he has not anointed us just to make us feel good. He's anointed us for purpose and for ministry, that we may fulfill the purpose of our Father who has sent his Son. As I have sent, even so send I you, he said. He's anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor, the destitute, the afflicted, the humble, the down and out, the crushed in spirit, and the broken in hearted. You know, it's been so refreshing to me to see some of our young preachers come out of Bible school looking for a place to start a church. Not a comfortable place to get on a staff, but some of them just want to go out here. And where they may not know a family, I just want to go out here and get a few folks to help me and start holding church and just see if the Holy Ghost won't birth a church. This really thrills my soul. A few years ago, I believe it was 4 years ago, Gershon Swan and his wife came up to me at a general council, and we got to talking and praying, and he was sharing with me that God was stirring his heart, and he just didn't know what to do. And I said, Gershon, why don't you go back home and start a church? And I you know, it's just amazing sometimes how God just speaks through us. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what that sweet young couple did. They came back home and they started the church. And one of the first ministers Carol and I had in the district office was going on and holding church with them. And I'll tell you, that little baby church could teach a lot of us how to have church and how to entertain guests and the evangelist and the pastor and the district superintendent. When I drove up, somebody tried to take my car away from me. And I tried to carry my briefcase in, and they took my briefcase away from me. I tried to go to the bathroom, and they wouldn't let me go by myself to the bathroom. I told them I could handle this by myself. I really don't need any help here. I never met such gracious people in all of my life. And we started having church, and I'll tell you, they sang. I was so touched. I was so moved. I was so blessed. This is a baby church. This is a brand new church. And the Lindell Assembly had allowed them to have their services at this time in the youth hall on a Sunday morning. He came to district council last year, and I made a little comment about how Sunday nights was an awesome opportunity to be having church in Houston, Texas today. He went home and started having church on Sunday night. Y'all must have cut him a little more slack and let him have church. And the place was just packed. There was probably 75 to 100 people there. And there was really 101, the Holy Ghost. Oh, God was there. Oh, God was there. It's just so refreshing to get around people who just want to have church. They don't care what time it was. I left there that day at 2 o'clock. And I wasn't even hungry. Don't y'all shut down now on me and get quiet. I heard somebody said he's going to be with me next Sunday. Oh, my Lord. And I believe I could add, Gershom, I don't know where you are, but I believe I could add there wasn't a soul that left here. Because he told them that Carol and I prayed for them at the general council, and I want him to lay hands on everybody in this church. And all the ladies that were expecting the baby, he wanted Carol and I to come and Carol lay their hand on it. And I think it's in the water. I think every woman in that church was expecting the baby, except the pastor's wife. We prayed, we shouted, we wept. We folks were slain in the spirit. Folks were ministered to. It was 2 o'clock when I left there. Lord, have mercy. I was working to the hour too. It wasn't bothering me what time it was. I was having a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. I asked him after church, was having lunch. I said, Gershon, what's your vision? The Holy Ghost is telling me you need to partner with this man. This is good soil. You need to partner with this church. You need to help him in this church. I said, what do you have in mind to do? He said, Brother Gambera, I said, we'd love to try to maybe help you. He said, I want to stay in the inner city where the poor folks are. He said, God has his church's name is Coat of Many Colors. This Hispanic church tried to get him to be their pastor. He says his wife was Hispanic and he's Japanese, Filipino. They have three little children. He said, we call them jalapenos. They're Filipino and oh, he's colorful. I'll tell you, I need to keep these two and them separated. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be a match around those guys. He said, God's called me to feed the hungry. didn't I read something in the book about Jesus feeding the hungry? God's called me to feed the hungry. I want to stay in the inner city. He said, there's three things God's called me to do is have a feeding program. I want to feed the hungry and the homeless. I want to minister to them. I stood the other night and I heard Robert Solomon share in a men's light for the Lost Convention. He said, I never slept on a bed till I was 15 years old. I slept on the streets of Calcutta. And he said, I didn't care anything about a gospel until a man named Bart Bodtain put some food in my stomach and started to give me an education. And then I began to listen to him about the gospel. I'm going to tell you, there's some things we can learn. There's some things that we can learn. That he said, when I saw Jesus in action, then it made me want to know him. He said, we want to feed the poor. And he said, we want to teach English. They have a lot of Spanish speaking people. He said, we want to teach English in our church. And we have a lot of people who don't have an education. And we want to help them to get their GED. So I need to stay inside the Luke 6:10. I said, man, I'll pray with you about this. Soon as you find something, you let me know. The next morning, my phone was ringing. The very next morning, my phone was ringing. He said, do you have a few minutes? Last night in my Sunday night service, a man from another side of town has been attending my Sunday night service. And he came up to me and he said, Pastor Swan, tonight our church voted to disband itself as a church. We have a beautiful building. It's only 7 years old. It seats about 300 people. There's a small indebtedness on this, and we would just wondered if you and your church would like to have a church, a place to worship. It was on Market Street. It's about five blocks from where I pastored for many, many, many years. I knew the area. I said, well, who do they have it financed with? He said, with Sterling Bank. I said, oh, who's the author? He said, Jack Sheffield. I met Jack Sheffield about 35 years ago. I have lunch with him. And God helped us to put, God put that situation together. And I want to tell you, last October the 18th, Brother and Sister Chapin and Carol and I went over, and we didn't just have a dedication, we had a celebration. Brother Chapin gave them a check for $25,000 in home missions, and I want to tell you that they needed a new roof then. The roof like to come off of that church, and we had a party celebrating the goodness and the blessings of God. He said, I want you to preach the gospel to the poor. Let me tell you something, folks, all of us was poor folks. Sometimes I'll tell you, when I went into Burbank Assembly, I was sitting there one day all comfortable, leaned back and had my foot out in the aisle. You know, the seats are never big enough for us little folks, and I had on a suit that my mother and daddy had bought me. The only thing I had was a shotgun and a rotten reel. I wasn't used to this church business, and I went to church and I sat there and I was all leaned back and, oh, I thought, man, you got a hole in the bottom of the shoes. You better get your foot back in here. I had a hole. Man, I had a big old hole in the bottom of that shoe. And that's the only pair of Sunday shoes I had. I had some Brandy hunting boots, you know, but I got saved and I started paying my tithes. And my tithes was about $8 a week. And I had three kids. I'm glad when I went to church, they was interested in poor folks. This folks who needed a Savior, needed the Lord Jesus Christ. 22 years ago, God left Bill Wilson right back into the Bronx of New York City and Brooklyn, New York. And Bill is preaching every Sunday to about 22,000 kids calling it sidewalk Sunday school. I want to tell you, this gospel is going to be preached to the down and out and the up and out, because Jesus has said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And there, I must move on, but there's other wonderful stories. Jesus, in this portion of scripture here, he said he sent us to heal those that are bruised and oppressed. The healing ministry has always been a part of the Pentecostal worship. Mary Frances and Billy and them sit here today, and I've heard their mom and dad tell their story. Their grandmother was sick unto death, couldn't eat anything, couldn't keep anything on their stomach. And somebody came by and left a flyer on the door and said, we're going to have prayer tonight for the sick down here. Brother Richie was in town holding revival, and her grandmother got somebody to take her down there that night, and God marvelously and miraculously healed her, not gradually, but she came home that night. I've heard Brother Graham saying, she told him, I want a bowl of chili. He said, oh, Catherine, it's going to kill her. Your mama can't eat this. And God had healed her, and she went home and ate a bowl of chili and slept like a baby all night long, and that whole family was swept in the kingdom of God through divine healing. I want to tell you, you need to pray for the sick. Healing is a tool of evangelism. Read that third chapter of Acts, that old boy walking along, the old Peter and John going to church, and passed the old boy at Gate Beautiful, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they started realizing they had something they didn't know they had before. And you know the beautiful story, how he said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. And the Bible says he reached down and picked him up, and strength came into his ankles, and he didn't go walking, he went leaping and rejoicing into the temple, and 4,000 or 5,000 souls was added to the kingdom of God. Divine healing is a tool of evangelism. Isaiah 2 prophesied that surely he hath borne our sicknesses, our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Say it with me, but he was wounded. Say it with me, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. Hallelujah. Could you just thank him tonight? Oh, satala ba 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 ba. Satala ba 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 ba. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Carol and I stood in another denomination church, held a revival, a few years ago. And I'll just brief the story at the close of the revival. After every night I had laid hands on people and normal goal every night in that revival. He took his Bible out and he said, "Folks, I have a confession to make to you, an apology." He said, I went to our seminaries. I was told that Isaiah 53 was just spiritual. It wasn't for the physical man. And he said, "That's what I was taught. That's what you've been taught. That's what this church has stood for all these years. But I want to tell you, we were wrong. I was taught wrong, and you have been taught wrong, and I have taught you wrong, and I beg your forgiveness. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. And I want us to read together. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons. He cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Esaias or Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses." I thought, Brother Banning, I've known this all my life. I've been in this wonderful Pentecostal fellowship that's told me this truth all my life. Here's a man that's been through college and seminary, and just now the Holy Ghost is opening his eyes unto these wonderful truths that we have enjoyed all these years. Many of us today are living testimonies of the stripes that Jesus bore. And 1 Peter 2 and 24 looks back upon the scene and says that he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, he's a healing Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. I wouldn't be here tonight if God hadn't healed my mother. God healed my mother when she was fixing to have surgery. And 4 years later, I discovered America. I wouldn't even be here tonight if it wasn't for the stripes that Jesus bore. There's many of you sitting here tonight would not be here if it was not. He took on him our sins and our sicknesses, and by whose stripes we were healed. Could you just thank him tonight? If you need a healing, just thank him. God, help us to discern. Help us to discern your body as well as your blood for the needs. I pray for healing. I pray for miracles in this service this evening. Oh God, I ask in Jesus' name. Is there any afflicted? Let him pray. Any merry? Let him sing psalms. Any sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith might save the sick. No. What does it say? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if there be any sins, they too shall be forgiven them. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Availeth much. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall... on the sick, and they shall recover. I'm here to tell you tonight, along with that little Syrophoenician woman, healing is the children's bread. Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. Just a crumb from the Lord's table is sufficient to meet every need that you have in your life and in your soul and in your body. He's a healing Jesus, and he was sent to open the eyes of those who were blinded by Satan. I've often heard people say, "What's the matter with them? Why can't they see what they're doing to themselves, how they're destroying their health? They're destroying their family. They have lost their job. They've wasted an education. Why can't they see? Because they're blind. They have been blinded by the devil. And God has called us to preach this unsearchable riches, that the Holy Spirit may open their eyes. In 2 Corinthians 4 says, if our gospel be hid, it's to hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says when God called him, he had called him to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto the light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in him. He hath anointed me to open their eyes. God has anointed you. He has put his hand upon you. When you preach, not because you're so smart, but because the Holy Spirit works in your life, all of a sudden light will come on in their darkened souls, and they can see truths that can set them free. And God has anointed me to proclaim the time of true freedom, the year of Jubilee, the salvation from Satan's dominion and sin and bondages and fears and guilt. You know, a lifestyle of sin so many times brings bondages and vices that enslaves people. They need the power of God to set them free. They're held captive by Satan, and they need a deliverer to set them free. And God has chosen you, and God has anointed you and I to be those vessels. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only sin that God can't forgive is an unconfessed sin. I'll promise you, if you'll confess your sins, this man receives sinners. There is forgiveness in God. Romans tells us that if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise of God. And the writer here, he was quoting from the book of Joel, is where he was quoting here. In the book of Joel, there he's talking about God pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. And he goes on down and says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. He uses the word, instead of save, he uses the word deliverance. Jesus has come to deliver us from the bondages and the guilts and the things that has enslaved us, the habits. He has come to break those chains of bondages and set us free to live a life victoriously for him. For he said in Mount Zion, you got to singing about Mount Zion tonight, I got happy. He said, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, I'd liken that to the church, there the Lord said, there shall be deliverance. I want to tell you, when the drug addict or the drunk comes in your church, you need to have something to help him with. I'll never forget one day, this old drunk come in the church, riding his bicycle, took him all the freeway, the little dirt road. He got out at the church and I could tell you his name, but he may be some of y'all's kin folks. But he was known for his. And I'll tell you, we got to look in there, and old Lansford was riding a bicycle. And he had his overalls on, and they was on backwards. And he had rubber boots on, and they was on the wrong feet. And he came, we didn't have any windows down or air conditioning. You could see them before they got there, and then you could hear them up the road. And he got off his bicycle, and he had two little screen doors. He opened those screen doors and came staggering in the church. And my daddy had compassion on him because God delivered my daddy. He made it, he drank it, and he sold it. When he got saved, he had to close down a beer joint in a dance hall, a saloon, and bust up his seals and pour out his liquor. You know, we used to have to quit that when we got saved. And Dad was moved with compassion. And instead of making him wait for an altar call, he said, folks, the night I got saved, I was drunk. And he said, Lansford, come, and he got Lansford down to that altar. And God gloriously saved Lansford Cook. That's Sunday morning service. My dad had been delivered from that. He knew Brother John God could do it for Lansford. And that man, listen, he left there sober as a judge, whatever that means. He left there sober as a judge, transformed. He didn't have to sober up the Holy Spirit. Sobered him up. God set him free. My wife's little nephew, a very successful young businessman, was having problems with cocaine. He came in a Sunday morning offering, in a Sunday morning altar service. I didn't know he was strung out on this junk. And he came and he knelt at that altar. And I want to tell you, just a little talk with Jesus made everything right. And he told me, he said, Uncle Joe, I have never had a desire for cocaine since. I have never had a desire. That's been about 15 years ago. I want to tell you, Jesus came to set the captive free. There's some of you in this place today were in sin's grip and in sin's chain. And this gospel can set the captive free. It involves more than just a little forgiveness. He said, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. And I'll tell you, you preach that in your pulpit with convictions. It'll give people hope that are bound in sin. And you let them come forth and a bunch of Pentecostal people lay hands on them. The devil don't have a chance. God will confirm his word with signs following, just like he did in the book of Mark. Hallelujah. When I got saved, I'll tell you, the devil tried to tell me I wasn't saved. He told me every lie of the book, and I had to learn some scripture and memorize them. I tell him, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I would tell him that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I learned that the devil condemns and God convicts. If you do something wrong, he'll convict you, but conviction will always point you to the cross and condemnation. Another scripture I learned that blessed my soul. He says he had delivered me from the powers of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. And I would tell him, I have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and I have been translated in the kingdom of God's dear son, in whom I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I want us to remember tonight to pattern our ministry after Jesus. Don't try to be like Brother Granbears or Brother Burroughs. Try to be like Jesus. Hello. And I hope we would never fail you or disappoint you. But I want to tell you, I know one who has been before us, who was tempted in all points such as we, and yet without sin. He met the devil on his own territory, and he defeated him, and even on the cross, he gave his life. No man took his life. He laid down his life that you and I may have. And on the third morning, he got up, and the Bible says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in us, it'll quicken our mortal bodies. We got Holy Ghost resurrection power living in us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He hath anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal and bind the spiritually and physically sick and brokenhearted, to break the bonds of evil and proclaim freedom from sin and Satan's dominion, and to open the spiritual eyes of the lost that might see the light and find hope and be saved. This is a fourfold ministry that characterizes Jesus' entire ministry. You and I are under a mandate to fulfill it and to march with those orders as long as God's church is on planet Earth and until the trumpet of Jesus sounds. We're to be preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the sick, delivering the captives. And what was that other one? Thank you. Opening their eyes. Just trying to have a little test here to see if y'all know what we're talking about here. Lord, forgive me. I need an altar call here. I just want to tell you, I really had a testimony tonight, more than a message to share with you. These verses have blessed me. Brother Burrs is one of the greatest storyteller preachers that I've ever heard. I'd rather hear him preach on poor old Ida than anybody in the world. And he always knows what to say. And I said, oh God, I've got to follow that. Lord, have mercy. But it's been a joy. It's been a blessing. So I've always, every Sunday morning, I'm like I'm in Ned's Reader trying to find the Holy Ghost to help me through one more Sunday and pray Jesus will come. And this verse of Scripture here that I share with you tonight, God has made so precious and so personal to me. It has blessed me. It has challenged me. It has inspired me. It has encouraged me. It has caused my faith to rise to a new level, to believe God for whatever situation or need that arises, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I believe I can tell you that I was inspired by the Holy Ghost in a prayer time on a Sunday morning, preparing for service, to stop asking God for the anointing and start acknowledging His anointing upon my life and giving Him thanks and giving Him the glory. And I've been saying, instead of Lord, anoint me this morning, I've been saying, the Spirit of the Lord, Brother Newbern, is upon me. He hath anointed me. Brother, that'll grease your wheels. It don't matter what kind of church you're in or how big or how little. I want to tell you, when you recognize He hath anointed me, that you're not just equal to the task. You're greater than any task. Anything that you would come against that day, the anointing, the same God that slew Goliath for David is going to give you the victory in that Sunday morning service. Man, it'll make you can't wait till they turn you loose to see what God is going to do in your midst that day. Praise the Lamb of God. Lift your hands with me and let's thank Him for it. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the anointing. Amen. Thank Him with me. Thank Him with me. Thank Him with me this morning. Come on, thank Him with me this morning. Without Him, you could do nothing. Without Him, you wouldn't be where you are. You'd still be out running an old engine lathe somewhere. Thank Him for where He's brought you from. He's brought us a mighty long ways. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. And He has ordained you. He has anointed you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let us thank Him for depositing in these earthen vessels His precious Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Our bodies are temples of His Holy Spirit. Thank Him for His anointing that's upon your life. Thank Him for His hand that is upon your life this evening. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Pray with me this evening. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you. Said with me, Lord, I thank you that you have anointed me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to rub that power of the Spirit deep into my life. Yes, Lord, penetrate every part of my being with that precious holy oil. I pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, run it in this evening. God, let it be a hands-on ministry, Lord. Rub it in on us this evening. Pour it upon us, Lord. And rub it in, and rub it in, and rub it in.
Thank you, Lord.
One of our young preachers at our church at Burbank told me he went to pray for this man, and he went to anoint him with oil. And he says, no, not into that little old hands-on. He says, I want you to take that bottle and just pour it on me. He said, sir, are you serious? Yes, sir. He said, man, I think he, Brother Burris, he knew something about the anointing. Just pour that oil on me. I just pray this evening, Holy Ghost, pour that oil upon us. We need a fresh anointing of God's Spirit. Paul said, though the outward man perish, I renew the inward man day by day. I'll not leave this council like I came. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Stand with me this evening. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope this testimony has helped you this evening. It is changing my life. It is changing my life. It is changing my life. I don't care how dead the song service is. It doesn't matter to me where I know what they sing or I don't know what they sing. All I hope they'll do is turn me that pulpit with enough time to let the anointing oil of God flow on my life, because I never know what he's going to do, but I know he's always up to something good. He's always up to something good in our life. That's what the anointing does. If the anointing, and God wants to use us. God wants to use us. I want you to close your eyes with me, and I want you to make a confession this evening. I want you to say it out loud with me. I confess that God's hand is heavily upon my life. Say it with me. I confess that God's hand is heavily upon my life. His Spirit is anointing me.
Anointing.
His Spirit is preparing me. His Spirit is empowering me.
His Spirit is empowering me.
His Spirit is equipping me.
His Spirit is equipping me.
For every task.
For every task.
I shall ever be asked.
I shall ever be asked.
To undertake for my Lord.
For my Lord.
I confess it in Jesus' name. I confess it in Jesus' name. Lift your voices with me. Let us thank him together. Let us thank him together. Let us thank him together. God, may we never be the same. Lord, may we never be the same. May we never be the same. May we never be the same. May we never, may there be a new recognition of who we are in you. And your presence is upon us.
Anointing.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Anointing
fall on me.
You know, some of you this evening have come to this service with great needs in your life. God reminded me this evening, getting ready for church, about Samson, who'd lost his touch. And it seemed like the Holy Spirit said to me, Brother Newbern, perhaps there's somebody there that used to... And for some reason or another, they've lost that touch in their life. And the Holy Ghost seemed like he said to me, give them hope. 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 It can happen. It can happen again. See, the devil didn't understand grace. Samson's hair began to grow. Samson's hair began to grow. And Samson got so desperate and hungry, he said, God, if you'll just touch me one more time, it'll be worth all the rest of my life just to feel your presence. I just feel like maybe there's somebody here. The Holy Spirit's wanting to tell you, you have been greatly used of God in the past, and maybe something's happened. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe you've been disillusioned. But somehow or another, you have lost that touch that you once have. I just feel like tonight God wants to, his arm is not short, his ear is not heavy. He wants to come where you are tonight and touch you once again, that you may feel his grace. And Solomon accomplished more in his last moments than he did in his whole life for God. He's a God of grace. And if you're here tonight without Jesus as your Savior, maybe you've come tonight to appease somebody else, and the Holy Ghost is telling you there's hope for you. I want to tell you the greatest healing you'll ever experience is the healing of your soul. Jesus come to set the captive free. You may have tried to live for God and fail, but I want to tell you, a man who gets up one more time and he falls is on his feet. And there's hope and there's help for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you have come here tonight with infirmities in your body. And I have sensed this for days. I want us to pray for the sick as well tonight. We're going to have a Pentecostal service here. We're going to anoint with oil, and we're going to pray for the sick tonight, that God will touch you, that God will heal you. My mother went to a prayer meeting on a Tuesday morning after getting saved, and they anointed her with oil and prayed for her, and she was never, God miraculously healed her. He's a healing Jesus. The lepers came to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. Jesus said, I will. And I believe tonight he's saying it to us. I will. Somebody said, have you ever noticed that all of these healing evangelists are all young? Well, I want to tell you, I'm not young. I'm 61 years old. And sometimes I have aches and pains, but that don't have nothing to do with the stripes that Jesus bore. I need his healing more today than I ever have in my life today. And I want us to have prayer for the sick. I've given many of you little vials of oil. I want you to come, and I want us to line all the way across this cup. Would you come down and kneel here? And stand here with us, and we're going to let people come to you, and we're going to pray for you. Going to pray for you. Did we have some more to pass out? Our presbyters, anybody here wants to pray for the sick? You get one of these bottles here from Brother, and we want to pray for you. We want Jesus to touch you. If you want a fresh touch tonight, amen. Don't you leave here like you came. You can have it. Amen. Amen. There's a healer in the house. There's a healer in the house. There's a healer in the house. He's a healing Jesus. He healed all that were sick and oppressed. Fellas, I want us to spread out. I want us to spread out where there'll be room. Hallelujah. 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 If you need a fresh touch in your life tonight, let these brethren pray for you. Let's spread out some more, fellas, if we will. Give plenty of room. Give plenty of room. Hallelujah. 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 Let's don't be a spectator now. Get in this service with me. If you want to come down here and find you a place to pray, if you want to be a blessing to somebody, you come down here this evening and let's pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need a fresh touch of God, let one of these elders anoint you with oil. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Somebody has to help you down here. Lord, let there be miracles. God, let there be miracles. God, let there be miracles. Let there be miracles. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's a healing Jesus. He said in his word, if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I pray this evening, God, for my brother, for the needs of his body. It's a temple of your Holy Spirit. And healing is the children's bread. I pray tonight for the miraculous healing touch of God for this body in the name of Jesus. And I pray for a fresh touch of your anointing upon his life. For ministry.